What if the government used psychics to spy on secret bases and then actually found them? What if remote viewing, MKUltra, and UFOs weren't just fringe conspiracy theories, but part of an ongoing intelligence operation cloaked in disinformation and occult rituals? I sat down with the man, Ryder Lee, to expose the real history of Project Stargate, the psychic spies, and how alien disclosure might just be government word magic. This one's wild. Don't miss it. So as you know, I got a special guest today, so I don't want to keep you too long, but we're going to get into Ryder Lee's experience and research of the Stargate Project. We're going to talk about the secrets of this U.S. military program that was about gathering intelligence through remote viewing and psychic abilities, possibly affiliated with MKUltra type experiments. You know, it went through Stanford Research Institute, so we talk about some of the documents that this is based upon, his evidence, the subjects that he interviewed that were actually doing the remote viewing, and various names you're going to recognize. Hal put off with his big Joe Rogan appearance recently, Pat Price, Ingo Swan, Russell Targ, and we're going to discuss how remote viewing actually works and if alien disclosure is part of this movement. My man's got a wealth of knowledge. He is the host of Raised by Giants podcast, and I'm going to put his link tree in linked in the show notes, right, so you can check out his podcast. I just made an appearance on there recently, so you can check that out for more. And then also, he's a film producer. I interviewed him and Jay Widener because they did this awesome Kubrick's Odyssey 3, Clockwork Shining. I interviewed them, a couple months ago now, and that's also a fascinating listen. So scroll back on your podcast feed to find that for more. Also, in this interview, we are discussing some stuff that you can see on the screen. So if you want to see the video version of this show, I'm going to upload it to my free feed video feeds for people who aren't on the Tier 2 supporter feeds that get it ad-free and early access and all that. So you can check out the video version. Go to my link tree. It's allmylinks.com/IsaacW, two A's for double awesome. And you can find the link to my Rumble, my now third growing YouTube channel, and Spotify. I put it on Spotify as well. So you can check out the video version and kind of follow along with what we're talking about. So without further ado, here's the great Ryder Lee. The biggest question in all of our human existence is whether or not we're alone. So today I brought on a returning champ to this podcast. He's the director of A Clockwork Shining, Kubrick's Odyssey 3, and JFKX, Solving the Crime of the Century, collaborating with the great Jay Widener. And he's the host and producer of Raised by Giants podcast. Today he's our local expert on unpacking this strange realm of intelligence agencies using occult methods to make contact with alien entities. His name is Ryder Lee, and he's back to drop knowledge. Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture, Ryder.
What's going on, Isaac? Thanks so much for having me back on. Really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to diving into this topic, my friend, because there's a lot to unpack with this thing, and Hal Putoff was just on Joe Rogan, so this is freaking perfect timing. And I got to say that everything that Hal Putoff said in the Joe Rogan show is 100% true about remote viewing, because he was the one that kind of started that at SRI. But everything that he said about UFOs, I 100% disagree with.
And, okay, we can unpack that a little bit. I haven't listened to it yet, so I'm it's on my list of things to do here this weekend. So, I'll have to unpack that with you, because I did want to bring you on because I, like most of the audience, I would assume know what Project Stargate is, but perhaps don't know all the details. There's, you know, in the world of ufology, there's a lot of disinformation and misleading ideas, and people claiming these connections to secret space programs that maybe aren't. And I know you've spent a ton of time digging into this, so I wanted to kind of pick your brain for a little bit. And, you know, our last show, I had you and Jay Widener on to talk about Kubrick's Odyssey 3, and it sent me down this, I want you to know, it sent me down a spiral of research into Catcher in the Rye. For the first time, I actually read the book, and I did this two-part analysis because it was fascinating, because it did sort of read like an MK Ultra mind control killer book. So, it was a fascinating talk, but I wanted to get you back on to talk Stargate because I know you're the man. So where do you propose we start with the whole thing? Do you want to give a little brief overview of what Stargate is? What's your background with interest in it? How do you want to go with this?
Well, it's also a connection between A Clockwork Shining and Kubrick's Odyssey 3 with us as well, because Danny is like basically through the trauma that Danny suffered is what unlocked these psychic abilities within him. And that's essentially what Danny is kind of doing, is remote viewing the future, because he has these psychic abilities, and that's what Army and DIA and seeing the future, seeing what things are going to be happening, collecting intelligence data for foreign assets, mainly during the Cold War, and it ran up until 99 until it was to be transferred to the CIA, and then the CIA got it and then, you know, shut it down. Said that no valuable intelligence data had ever been collected from the program, and that was their justification for shutting the entire program down. And what got me interested in it was researching MKUltra and reading all of the 149 MKUltra sub-projects. And when you're reading through all of those, you'll see that there are five MKUltra sub-projects that were dedicated to the research of psychic abilities. And then while I was reading that, I was like, okay, well, I know that the government were using psychics at a period of time. So is MKUltra and the Stargate psychic stuff connected? And then I started reaching out to the people that I could verify that were in the Stargate Stargate remote viewing unit. Okay, that's how confusing the stuff gets, is there's so much stuff going on. It's a very convoluted, and they make it very difficult for people to find factual information about it online. And especially with Trump's AI Stargate stuff, like now when you type into Google, like Stargate, dude, it's just like, you just get all kinds of stuff. And then plus you have like Stargate SG-1. You have all these people using the Stargate term, but that term actually was developed by Del Graff in 1992. I had Del Graff on my show. He's been on my show like three times. He was the operations manager for the psychic spies, the DIA and Army Intelligence were doing, and he created the term Stargate. It ran by many different names. It has switched titles. It has switched names. It's gone back and forth between DIA, Army Intelligence several times. The Air Force was involved. But one of the first things that we need to kind of dispel, like out the gate, is that this isn't a CIA program.
Okay.
It was never a CIA program. The CIA literally had nothing to do with this other than funding SRI in 72, which was the research side of this. And we're going to get into all this because it's, I have my notes here because it's too much to freaking remember all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But the only involvement that the CIA had was funding SRI in the very beginning to research remote viewing. And they had people like Pat Price, they had like Ingo Swann, and like a few others that they were doing psychic research on. And that's what Hal Puthoff was talking about on Joe Rogan, like the very beginnings of him getting into being a, getting into remote viewing and working at SRI. And I had mentioned in my show that I did with Donut that Hal Puthoff is a Scientologist, which he 100% is a Scientologist. And some people called me out on that, like online. It was like, what do you mean Hal Puthoff is a Scientologist? You're lying about Hal Puthoff being a Scientologist. And you can go right to his Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I was under the impression he was, a Scientologist. And do you think that connects us into... Because when I interviewed Dr. Jacques Vallée a few weeks ago, he mentioned... Some when we were talking, he basically was laying out this idea that if we want to understand the phenomenon, we have to sort of explore the realm of the occult. And he mentioned something about Scientology, like the early Scientology days being some kind of I don't know, some kind of connection into this whole thing. Do you think that that's, and then of course, you know, the, with the foundations of L. Ron Hubbard's Scientology connected to Jack Parsons, like to me, it seems like these things are all kind of connected, and maybe it's, we're going through a weird kind of disclosure on that right now, because I don't think 60 years ago, this would have been a popular or acceptable topic to claim that Jack Parsons, Antichrist, and L. Ron Hubbard were out in the desert jacking off and opening up portals. And I think the masses would be like, what are you guys smoking? What are you talking about? You know what I mean? So,
yeah, this Wikipedia article right here says Putoff took an interest in the Church of Scientology in the late 1960s and reached what was known as OP level 7 by 1971. Putoff wrote up his wins for Scientology publication, claiming that to achieve remote viewing abilities. In 1974, Putoff also wrote a piece for Scientology's Celebrity Magazine stating that Scientology had given him a feeling of absolute fearlessness. Putoff severed all connection with Scientology in the late 70s. And like that's what people were saying. They were coming at me on X and on Facebook for saying that Putoff was a Scientologist. He had left the church. Okay.
Do you think that's relevant to the arguments of whether or not, you know, does Scientology teach these people something about how to make contact, how to remote view? I mean, there must be something there. Have you dug into that at all? I mean, I know that they keep kind of guarded secrets in the Church of Scientology, so maybe that's not public knowledge.
I really haven't, because Scientology is a whole other rabbit hole that I would just rather completely avoid.
Yeah, and it's dangerous, right?
It's dangerous. They'll literally come after you and stalk you and gang stalk you and post up outside of your house and shit. And like, I just don't even want to.
Yeah, I got you. With the foundations of Stargate, I think the sort of normie version would be the CIA was funding projects to do some remote viewing. Russell Targ was working at SRI, or it was connected with SRI at Stanford Research, and they did a bunch of experimentations of remote viewing. And I guess officially over the years, they said it didn't really work, or it wasn't conclusive that it worked. So then they shut it down. But when you look at the modern day ufology movement and folks like Chris Bledsoe or Dr. Stephen Greer, who claim that with the right sort of focus or energy or whatever, or inherent psychic abilities, right? Like you were saying with Danny Torrance from The Shining, that there is this ability to make contact. But so that's where it gets kind of confusing to me, is like, so were they successful in this and they're just kind of lying to the public, and maybe they changed the name of Stargate? I'm not really sure what to make of all of that.
Okay. Well, let's get into it right here. Cause this is the 100% real information. All this information that I'm about to speak about now comes from official documents, official declassified Sunstreak briefing document. And it also comes from the SRI syndicate document, which was from 1973. Okay, so where all this starts is with SRI, Stanford Research Institute. But the government was also doing studies on what they refer to in the documents as parapsychology, with Duke University in the 30s, Parapsychology Foundation in New York in the 50s, Mind Science Foundation in the 60s. So they had an interest in this for a really long time, and they did other research foundations and centers even earlier than SRI. But the thing that kicked off this whole remote viewing stuff was SRI, and this was in the 70s, in the early 70s. So to establish a little background on SRI is essentially a government contractor. And their very first research project investigated whether a plant can be used as a source of natural rubber. So from 1942 to 1946, and then the funding was cut by Congress after World War II ended. And then SRI's first economic study was for the United States Air Force, which is very important to remember now, because later on, we get into more Air Force stuff. That's where Dale Graff comes in that I just mentioned that created the term Stargate. He had a small remote viewing unit at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which was involved with locating a missing airplane, which we're going to get into here in just a few minutes. So in 1947, the Air Force wanted to determine expansion potential for the U.S. aircraft industry. SRI found that it would take a really long time to escalate the production in an emergency. So in 1948, SRI began research in consultation with Chevron Corporation to develop an artificial substitute for coconut oil in soap production. So the reason for mentioning all of that is to establish that SRI is working for the government. The SRI is a government contractor, and we know what government contractors are, like Raytheon and all these Lockheed Martin and all these big aerospace types of companies. They're essentially a front for the intelligence community. And it's also establishing that SRI worked for the Air Force and was getting funding from the Air Force prior, which is very important. But in 1972, the United States Army Surgeon General, through the Intelligence Information Agency, together with the DIA, then published studies of Soviet block work in psychoenergetics. So they got information that the Russians were using psychics to collect intelligence data on the United States. Also in that same year, SRI, Stanford Research Institute, stated that they started their research in psychoenergetics in 1972 with Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ. They did a series of investigations into the psychic phenomenon, which was sponsored and funded by the CIA, and had consciousness researchers Ingo Swann, Pat Price, and this is all documented in the Syndicate document from 1973. Syndicate was an SRI program to determine if remote viewing or psychoenergetic phenomenon was real, because if it was possible that the subjects in the beginning at SRI could be using their minds to collect information, how are they getting that information? Right? Are they getting that information subliminally? Are they getting that information somehow through memory? So they started running a bunch of tests, and during the testing, Ingo Swann was given a coordinate, and he described some kind of military base. Now, this is known as coordinate remote viewing. There are several different versions and different names of, you know, different types of remote viewing, but this is known as coordinate remote viewing, where a coordinate is given to a remote viewer. They then are able to view whatever has been imbued upon that coordinate. The coordinate now, it gets really confusing, because the coordinate really doesn't have to be what the location of what the person is viewing. So the coordinate is actually just like, it can be any series of numbers. Okay, so the person that's giving the coordinate to the person essentially has to imbue and imprint what they want the remote viewer to see onto the numbers. It's a very complicated process. You can't just sit down and remote view something. That's not how remote viewing works. Okay, so all these fake remote viewers online that are saying that they remote viewed Antarctica, that they remote viewed this alien base, that they remote viewed the underground bases in the United States, it's all nonsense, garbage, bullshit. You can't know what you're remote viewing, because whenever you know exactly what it is that you're remote viewing, your mind then creates things that you're supposed to see.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I read a experiment that was done to remote view Mars. I believe, I don't know if you've ever heard of that one. It's kind of a famous one, and I believe it was through SRI and Stargate. And I want to say from my memory serves that was the deal, was that they didn't tell the person who was doing the viewing, like, hey, you're going to Mars. It just gave them some location. And it also was, I don't know, a million years ago or something crazy like that. So you're saying that if you see someone online who's like, I'll remote view the moon, the dark side of the moon right now, like that intention that is baked into it already sort of like makes it misleading.
Exactly. You can't do it. Okay. It's impossible to do.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
If you know the target, like if I brought up this this Reader's Digest of Antarctica and started scrolling through it and seen a picture of Antarctica, and then I was like, oh, well, let me remote view that scenario of that photo that was taken in time. It's, you're not remote viewing anything. You're just using your imagination.
Okay.
You're not using any kind of psychic ability. So whenever this coordinate was given to Ingo Swann, he described some kind of military base in the woods. Okay. And this was supposedly in West Virginia. The coordinates was then given to a gentleman, a businessman that was referred to in the documents just as Pat. They refer to him as Pat in the official documents, but we now know his name was Pat Price. So when Pat Price got the coordinates to verify Ego Swan's remote viewing of this suspected military base in West Virginia, he described the exact same thing in large detail. And this document is really incredible. Hal Puthoff was talking about it on Joe Rogan. It was it's insane. I have the document, the syndicate document, and he's talking about wind speed. He's talking about altitude, the surrounding area. He draws like a diagram of what it was that he was seeing. So Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ ask him to view this location again and see if he could actually get inside of the facility with his mind. So he does it. He gets inside of the facility. So he's looking around the facility and he sees documents on the table. He was trying to obtain code word information with his psychic abilities. And he did. He saw on the top of the desk papers that were labeled, they were like fly trap, mine run. And there was like a file cabinet on one of the walls that was labeled Operation Pool. Folders on the inside of the cabinet that had all kinds of code words on it that revolved around the game of pool, like cue ball, 14 ball, four ball, eight ball, rack up, whatever, right? And he said that the site vaguely seemed like hay fork or haystack. And he even got the names of the generals at the facility. Hmm. Now, mind you, this is a top secret military installation in West Virginia that is to monitor like Soviet satellites. Okay. Very top secret. No one really knew about this information. And how they got the coordinate was they were doing this test, and one of the people that gave the coordinate had a cabin out in West Virginia. And he thought that they were giving them the location, the coordinate of the cabin. But right on the other side of the hill of the cabin was this top secret military base.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he got the names of the facility. It was like Colonel Hamlin, Major General George Nash, Calhoun. And this got the attention of all of the intelligence organizations. If people can get into our facilities, right, and figure out information about what we're doing, what can other countries do? Are other countries doing this? And I just mentioned that they found out that Russia was trying to use psychic spies to collect intelligence data on the United States, which is another really interesting aspect of this, because Russia got more Nazi scientists out of World War II than the United States got on paper. Now it's reported that the United States got, I think it was 1,500 verified Nazi scientists and aerospace engineers, right? But people claim that it was upwards of, you know, 20,000. But who really knows? Officially, Russia got around 6,000.
Okay. So, that's a lot of Nazi scientists. I didn't know there was that many.
Well, half of them were scientists and space engineers, and then the other half of them were their families.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
Okay, so
and just to clarify, I haven't listened to the Joe Rogan yet. This is the story that Hal Putoff apparently tells on Joe Rogan recently.
Not all of it, some of it. He kind of does an abbreviation. He doesn't go into the history of how, like, what I'm getting into.
Oh,
he
okay.
Kind of briefly runs into, you know, talks about some of the stuff, but he doesn't actually give you a detailed outline of how everything went, like, essentially in order, right?
Okay.
So I'm sure that they were really freaked out by the fact that Pat Price and Ingo Swann could remove you this top secret base that literally no civilian should ever know even existed. So in 1976, the Missile Intelligence Agency expressed interest in the United States replication of claimed Soviet experiments into psychoenergetics, right? Because that's the way that supposedly, that's the excuse that the intelligence community used to start up these programs, even though that they were funding SRI and they were like kind of shocked and like that this whole thing was real. They kind of used the excuse to open up an official program that another country could be using this and is probably using this, so we need to start up our own program. And during that same time, the Army Analysis Agency was also involved in the investigation of remote viewing concepts with SRI. So in 1977, U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command developed a project under the Assistant Deputy Chief of Staff for Human Intelligence, and they called this program Gondola Wish. Now, this program was in Fort Meade. So by 1978, the Army Intelligence conducted that, they essentially concluded that there was sufficient evidence to warrant this psychic spy psychoenergetics program.
Okay.
To explore intelligence collections of psychoenergetics. The Army then canceled the Gondola Wish program, and they put like a security blanket over the Army's interest in psychoenergetics. And then they implemented a new program, which was directed toward intelligence collection using remote viewing psychics, and that project was called Grill Flame. To use remote viewing as a data collection or intelligence collection method on foreign targets. That's what they say, foreign targets, right?
Okay.
By 1987, INSCOM, the United States Army Intelligence and Security Command, they had all the personnel that they wanted in the program. The training was initiated, and the person that trained the Army personnel was Ingo Swann at SRI. So they took all of their Army people, all the Army personnel, to SRI in California. Ingo Swann would then train them, and then they would go back to Fort Meade, and then they would, you know, be able to remote view. So now the kind of the issue that they ran into was, would the information obtained from remote viewing psychics be accurate? Would it be reasonable? And would the intelligence community accept it? Okay, because it's one thing to say that this stuff works. Are people going to listen to these psychics whenever they view something? November 4th, 1979, Army INSCOM tasked to locate a missing naval aircraft. This was the first Grill Flame operational remote viewing session, and the remote viewer located the missing aircraft within 15 miles of where it was down. And based on those results, INSCOM was then tasked to work on additional targets, and this forced the hand of ACSI to go into full swing operations. And so they skipped over a lot of the training processes of the unit because they figured out, this works. We located this airplane. Then let's just go into full-fledged. Let's just, you know, skip over any of the other training that Ingo's doing at SRI. Now, I actually have a video here of Jimmy Carter talking about it. It's actually a very difficult video to find. I recently was trying to talk about it with Del Graff when I brought him on before, and I couldn't find the original video of it. Let me type in Jimmy Carter. This is the one with Del Graff. I need the actual. Okay, here it is. Okay, stop sharing. Bring it up on the. Here it is. Here's President Jimmy Carter. This is safe to use. This is on my channel.
The only strange and inexplicable event that has been discussed publicly is that one time we had a small plane go down somewhere in Africa. We needed very much to find out where that plane had crashed, and we were not able to find it by surveillance from our satellites. So the director of the CIA, he was also director of all the intelligence agencies, heard about a woman in California that was a medium. And he contacted her, and she gave him the latitude and longitude of the plane's whereabouts. And the next time one of our space satellites went over that area, we located the plane where she said it was.
So that was Jimmy Carter talking about the weird and strange time that the psychic was used to find a missing airplane. But what President Jimmy Carter said is half true. It wasn't a lady in California. That was a misdirection. It was Del Graff's small remote viewing activity at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, specifically an Air Force enlisted woman named Rosemary Smith. And also, from what I've gathered and talking with the people that are a part of the remote viewing unit, she was also assisted by Gary Langford of SRI, which also helped. But okay. The story is true, but not exactly the way that Jimmy Carter tells it, because this was before the Stargate information was declassified. So whenever he was talking about this, it was still a classified program.
Do you think that, not to cut you off, but do you think, so when I'm hearing the foundations of Stargate, it sounds a lot like the foundations of MKUltra, where we just so happen to have all these Nazi scientists, and all of a sudden we're worried that Cold War fears of Russia doing mind control experiments and brainwashing people that we need to do MKUltra stuff. And now it's like, oh, okay. And then maybe Russia's also remote viewing our documents, so we need to study this. And I'm always intrigued by, you know, because there's all this paranormal stuff involved with Project Stargate, but then there's all these sort of conspiracies about it being linked into Majestic 12, and we were remote viewing other countries' UFOs in their hangars and talking to aliens. Does any of that hold any weight, or is that just speculative conspiracy theory talk when it comes to Stargate? Sounds like it's more focused on remote viewing than anything.
Yeah, it is focused on an intelligence data collection. Now, some people that were in the program have stated that somebody was in there, Skip Atwater was in there, and he had coordinates of bases that, extraterrestrial bases that Pat Price had remote viewed, and he had those exact same notes and those coordinates, and supposedly, now they weren't allowed to do this. So this was kind of like he would use it as like a practice thing, right? He would, you know, give them these strange and like weird coordinates and you would call them, like, I'm guessing is what was happening, was like practice targets.
Okay.
But supposedly Pat Price remote viewed 4 alien bases on Earth.
Wow.
Now, you can take that for whatever it is. I mean, I tend to believe, I mean, Pat Price died in When did he die? It was either 75 or 85. I think it was 75.
Have you talked to, you said you did some shows interviewing Del Graff. Is that right?
Yeah, he was the operations manager.
Oh, okay. Did he ever mention anything about remote viewing UFOs or alien stuff?
Yeah, and several of them, you know, talk about how they would be they would be remote viewing some really weird and strange things, specifically Lynn Buchanan, the movie The Men Who Stare at Goats is based off of Lynn Buchanan.
Okay.
And is like a pseudo like comedy of what DIA and Army Intelligence was actually doing.
Yeah, I remember watching it and thinking it was just silly, and I feel like that's kind of like what you were talking about earlier, where if you search for terms like Stargate, now you get this AI Stargate project, which could be related in a way if you believe in the AI as alien stuff. And I had a similar experience when Edward Snowden was the whistleblower for the NSA PRISM program, and within, I think, a couple of weeks, Katy Perry releases an album called PRISM, the same exact spelling and everything, and it muddies the waters, and it just seems like there is a little bit of coordination that happens there sometimes.
Same with like Operation Looking Glass as well. As soon as everyone started catching on to what Operation Looking Glass was, Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass came out.
Oh, interesting.
So then whenever you typed in like Looking Glass, it, like that's all that would pop up was the Alice in Wonderland movie.
So
obfuscation. So when something becomes interesting, they then throw out a bunch of fiction surrounding it. Now, Operation Looking Glass isn't what people think that it is. Operation Looking Glass is actually a program ran by the Air Force to put a nuclear control station platform in space.
Oh, wow.
It's not to see into the future or whatever it is that they claim Project Looking Glass actually was. I mean, just type in Operation Looking Glass into Google and you'll see that it was a Air Force program to put a airborne national command post in space.
Hmm.
Here it is.
And you, so on the topic of disinformation. Oh, there you go.
Operation Looking Glass or Operation Looking Glass or Operation Looking Glass is a historic code name for the Airborne Command Control Center operated by the United States. In more recent years, it has been only officially referred to as Airborne National Command Post. It provides a command control of U.S. nuclear forces in the event of ground-based command centers have been destroyed or likewise rendered imperable, which is an event the general officer aboard the Looking Glass Services Airborne Emergency Action Officer. So it's literally to put a nuclear command post, national nuclear command post in space.
Do you think that the disinformation extends to the, you mentioned the Hal Puthoff interview on Joe Rogan. Which part of that did you think maybe he wasn't forthcoming? Is that what you were trying to imply? I didn't catch the interview, so I'm not sure what to think of it.
No, just that whole idea and his outlook on like UFOs. Like he believes that they're 100% extraterrestrial and that aliens are coming here and like all that. And I don't believe that at all. I believe it's all our technology.
Oh, you don't even believe in interdimensional aliens. You think all of it's just not real. Okay.
I mean, I believe in entities. Of course, there's entities, right? 100% believe that there's entities like all around us.
Oh, okay.
Right, but there's no physical entities.
I got you. So, like, you're okay with the disembodied spirit stuff? Because a lot of people are talking about AI being disembodied spirits that's not communicating with us, and I think that's a fascinating angle. I don't know what to make of it, obviously, but I do tend to believe in the interdimensional stuff, but I'll put off as more of a, no, these are nuts and bolts UFOs from planet Nibiru that fly in. And
Well, he doesn't really exactly say. He talked also about the interdimensionality of them, like what they are. And if anything, it's like plasma. If anything is physical, it's like it's not even really physical. It's like plasma entities. And if other entities exist outside of the Earth, which we have no evidence for, but if they do exist, if there's other life on other planets, they aren't coming here physically. And that's another thing about this remote viewing stuff that is connected to the alien thing. Okay. If other entities live outside of the Earth on other planets, they're not coming here physically. They're using their consciousness to transport themselves by locating themselves into our reality. That's the only way that they're not traveling through space. They're not traveling freaking thousands or millions of miles to come to Earth in a craft, in a nuts and bolts craft. No, they're using their minds and they're bilocating into our reality to here. Just like what can be done with remote viewing here. That is essentially bilocation. Imprint your consciousness outside of your body, go to a completely different place, and then interact with your environment and move objects.
That's what Pat Price and Ingo Swann, were they doing stuff like that? Like, you think they were able to sort of appear to people on the other end?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
I think so. I mean, I don't know if they can appear to people. I don't know if people could actually see them, because I think that would be the next evolution of like remote viewing, right? Okay. Like it's evolved so much since its inception. And so that would be like the ultimate form of being able to remote view, is to bilocate your body physically to where someone else could literally see you you're not even there. That would be like the most advanced form. I don't think that they were there, but they definitely were able to manipulate the environment someplace completely different than where they were, and like move things.
Huh. And do you think that the Stargate project, you know, it was officially shut down, but do you think it's continued on under other names or something like that?
I don't think we have a reason to believe that it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that strange that they studied it for so many years, and then after 20-some years, they thought, oh, this is kind of a waste. It's like, you think you would pick that up, like, within a year or two, you'd be like, oh, we're spinning our wheels here, nothing's happening. I can't imagine you'd study for 20-some years with zero, proof or evidence or results, you know?
Yeah, you're not going to fund something for, what would it be, like 16 or so years. It started in 1978, ended in 95, so 17 years. And fund all that, and then all of a sudden be like, yeah, there's... What happened was, this is my guesstimation, this is not a part of any official document, it's just my thoughts on it, is that they found a different use for it. And they couldn't take the people that were involved in the initial program, which I have a photo here of all the people that were involved in the official Stargate program. It's only 20 of them. So you got Trent, Ken Bell, Joe McMonagle, Paul H. Smith, which I've had Paul H. Smith on my show before, Mel Riley, Lynn Buchanan. I've had Lynn Buchanan on several times before, Charlene Kavanaugh, Rob Crawford, Robin D., David Morehouse. I've had David Morehouse on quite a few times. Greg S., F. Holmes Atwater, Linda A., Gene Lessman, Tom M., Fern Gavin, Angela D. I've had Angela D. on my show several times. Gabrielle Pattengal, Ed Dames, and Bill Ray.
Wow.
Those are the only people that were ever in this program. So if your name's not on this list, You were never in the Stargate remote viewing unit.
What about Ingo Swan? His name isn't on the list, or
he was at SRI. He was never involved.
I see.
Yeah. He was a research someone that they were running the test on at SRI.
Okay, so Russell Targ, Hal Putoff, Ingo Swan, they were strictly with the SRI sort of research arm of the Stargate project, but this is the actual people that, and what would these people do? They would just kind of just sit there on remote view to try to experiment to figure out how to do some intel in other countries and operations. Is that kind of what they would do every day for, you know, 40 hours a week?
Yeah. And some of these people, they weren't, they would use kind of different methods. Like, I'm pretty sure Robin D here, I'm pretty sure she's still involved in some kind of way. I don't have any factual information on that, but she is at least still working for the military. I know for a fact.
And do they?
People are either passed away, dead, or they're teaching remote viewing courses, and they've been on my show. Just like I mentioned, Paul Smith's been on my show. Del Graff has been on my show. Del's not on here. He wasn't an actual remote viewer. He was just the operations manager. David Morehouse has been on my show. Angela Ford, which she changed her name from, her last name used to be Del Fourier or Del Foray or something like that, but then she just changed it to Ford. Her last name is Angela Ford. But so that's what the, but Angela, she has a different kind of method. She does like an automatic writing method of like remote viewing.
And are they all practicing different techniques in order to do this? Like, is there like psychedelics involved maybe? Or like what kind of occult methods? You just said automatic writing. That's kind of, you know, a form of sort of channeling something to write things down. Do they all employ some kind of method like that?
Well, the way that it works is that you get the, if you're doing coordinate remote viewing, you get the coordinate, then the imprint of what the person that gave you the coordinate has put onto the coordinate is then what you remote view. Now, some people, they don't, this is the whole weird thing with remote viewing, dude, is like they, people think that whenever you remote view, like you literally see things in your mind. Like you're at the location, like, with your mind. That's not the way that it works. Oh. It's feeling. You get feelings, and you sketch these feelings down on like a pad, and then like you'll like get like an intuition and like a feeling of like what the area looks like. Like it's not like you're, unless you're doing the very advanced form of remote viewing, like I was mentioning, like the bilocation stuff. Right, then if you're just doing regular remote viewing, you're not there at the site seeing the site.
Right. So there are
ones that are like beacon exercises is what they call them, where they would essentially view something through somebody else's eyes. So they would have somebody out in the field. Okay, or they would have a target that's another person, and then they would essentially view through that person's eyes and like what they're seeing. But that's different. Like coordinate remote viewing is different. Outbounder exercises is different. Extended remote viewing is different. There's different things for all these different ways of remote viewing. So whenever people just throw the banner of, I'm remote viewing, I can see it. No, you're not, bro. You're just sitting down and you're closing your eyes and you're using your imagination.
I feel like that's a fine line to sort of straddle between the two, but it seems like after, you know, almost 20 years of research, it sounds like they've got a more of a handle on how you can properly do it, perhaps.
Yes, and like I mentioned, there were several times that they were asked to remove you weird. And like, I think Ingo Swan seen, like the ring around Venus or something like that, or one of the planets before we even discovered that there was a ring around it because he was remote viewing it. So there's a lot of really strange and weird thing, but it was mostly focused, like the Stargate program was mostly focused on foreign targets. So they were trying to collect intelligence data on foreign assets. Like Joe McMonagall would, remote viewed this giant, submarine that was being built inside of a hangar. And like no one really believed him that they were like building the submarine. Like how are they building it? And he described it and he drew it all out with these like giant shafts and like arms and stuff like that. And then it turned out that that's exactly what they were doing. So it's like, yeah, it's really wild. But let's finish up on this whole history thing because I don't have too much more. So the budget was cut between the Army working with DIA because they thought that the program had been double funded. So then they cut funding. Army intelligence then split from DIA, the two separate groups. Army intelligence then developed a different program. So Army DIA had two separate programs at this point. It was called one, the Army intelligence was called Center Lane. So then in 1983, a gentleman signed a memorandum allowing the resources to be reallocated and used to support Army's program. So they reversed the budget cuts of what happened before that created the Army splitting from DIA. So in 1983, the Army remote viewing special access program Center Lane was decided to be merged back with DIA's Girl Flame program. Okay, so 1984, it was decided that the Center Lane Army special access program that was split from DIA because they thought that it was being double funded should be mixed back in with DIA's Girl Flame. So in 1985, the transfer began from Army's Center Lane project to DIA's Girl Flame program, and that became known under the banner of a DOD special access program. Then the funding was restored, and then the name changed again. Then it was called Sunstreak. And after those combined, Army intelligence kind of like got out of the way because they just took all the people that were working for Army intelligence and combined them back with DIA. But now it's under a DOD banner. So it's a DOD special access program that the DIA is running. And this was to use psychoenergetics, remote viewing, as a way to, you know, collect in 100% intelligence data. So the program ran under Sunstreak until 91, and then it was changed to Stargate by Del Graff. He changed the names out of his own words because he felt that it described what they were doing better with, you know, the human potential aspect of like what was going on there. So in 95, the program was to be transferred to the CIA from the DOD and the DIA. CIA got their hands on it. Like I mentioned in the very beginning, said that no intelligence data had ever been collected from the program and they shut it down, which 100% was not the case. In all the documents that I have and all the documents that I've read, these remote viewers they turned out to be very accurate. They had drawings, descriptions of areas, the altitude, the freaking wind rate, you know, very descriptive details that they were getting by using their psychic abilities, their remote viewing abilities. So, another thing was that whenever the CIA cut funding to SRI, the Air Force jumped in and started funding SRI from 76 onward. So, you know, the DIA Army Intelligence, they had a contract with SRI. They had contracts with a lot of people because this is another confusing aspect of it where people say, oh, this was a CIA program. Well, the CIA was involved. They were funding SRI, but a lot of these other intelligence agencies were also giving tasking to DIA. So the NSA, CIA were like Air Force, they were giving tasking to DIA for the remote viewers to, you know, look at things for them.
Okay.
So that's where the confusion come in. But that's a history of the Stargate remote viewing program.
That's fascinating. So it's kind of misleading to say it's a CIA program because it's kind of changed hands and possession a bunch of times. It's kind of misleading to say it was an alien contact program as well. You didn't seem to find any official connections into that. It didn't seem like that was the main thrust of the research. If there was maybe a couple of loose points where it connected into that, but not the main angle. But that is interesting. It makes me wonder if, because when you see the modern day disclosure movement and people like David Grush, the whistleblower, saying stuff that, well, there's a sort of quantum aspect to this whole thing, implying it is interdimensionality, or, you know, Dr. Jacques Vallée implying that maybe there's some methods of contact that we need to consider that might be, you know, quote unquote occult. I feel like it's almost like all that research must have continued on, and it must be tapped into today. I mean, even if it shut down in the late 90s, it surely got resurrected at some point now that they're trying to do this sort of mass disclosure effort upon the public. Do you see anything where those pieces connect in with the modern day disclosure movement, that maybe there's elements like, you know, how Putoff going on Joe Rogan to talk about it? That's got to be looked at as a possible piece of the disclosure, slow drip disclosure on the masses.
I do think that it's connected. I just don't know exactly how it all is related in that aspect, but it definitely has something to do with consciousness. And that makes sense if these entities aren't physical entities. That's the only way that it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, if you can contact them, like, spiritually or through meditation or hallucinogenics or all that shit, like, they're not physical beings.
Right.
They never were physical beings.
That's
another thing that Hal Putoff talks about in the Joe Rogan episode. He's like, a lot of these craft that we've recovered were found archaeologically.
Like Bob Lazar says, right?
So they were dug up. Okay, so they're old ass craft that were found. This wasn't like recent times shit. And that's another thing that they're doing with this entire UFO and alien topic and narrative, is that they're using word magic. It's all word magic. They use certain phrases to make you think that they're talking about one thing when they're really talking about something completely different. Like with crash retrieval, like with national security threat, like with alien invasion. Okay. All these words and all these titles have multiple meanings. But when the public hears them and people in this community hear them, they think one thing when they really mean something completely different. Just like non-human intelligence. Okay. Non-human intelligence is AI. That's what Dave Grush talks about. He's like, they were non-human intelligence, non-biologicals. Okay. Non-biological, non-human intelligence is just a coincidence that we're coming up in this AI age. And that term now becomes popular. That's what AI is. Crash retrieval doesn't mean that we saw a craft crash out of the sky or we saw it on our radar. Crash retrieval can be something that you dug up from hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago that has been here for freaking ever. If me and you picked up right now, we went to Afghanistan, we started an archaeological dig, we found some weird, strange craft in the ground, that would be a crash retrieval. doesn't matter how long a period of time has lapsed in between you finding the craft and the craft coming down. It's still a crash retrieval. It's word magic. They're using word magic. Alien invasion. Okay. From 2020 to 2024, we had an alien invasion on our border. Okay. Trump comes in, stops the alien invasion, deports all the extraterrestrials that are not from this land back to their where they came from. Okay. Whenever we go to a different country, Isaac, we are aliens. We are not born there. We are not from there. If we went to Afghanistan right now, we would be aliens. We would be legal aliens, but we would still be considered alien because we are not from that part of the world. So it's word magic play that they're doing, dude. That's exactly what it is. And that's what everyone has been talking about. For how long have they been talking about the fake alien invasion? The fake alien invasion?
Right. That's why I'm always torn. I don't know what to believe. I mean, it's really hard for me to stick to one argument because it's so multifaceted. But you did great work on the Project Stargate stuff. If you want to tell the folks where they can catch, because you, like you said, you've got multiple interviews with people that were in the program. If you want to tell them the best place they can catch all of those episodes.
And the national security thing too. The national security thing isn't that we're worried about them being in our airspace. The national security threat is that if other countries find out that it's our technology that's flying around in our airspace, then we're exposed. Then they can duplicate it. Then they know that it's our technology. So it's better for them and the public and everyone to believe that these are extraterrestrial crafts coming from outer space. Because if you keep them on extraterrestrial narrative, then they'll never realize that it's our own craft that we have developed, that we've been developing since the late 1800s at the Sonora Aero Club in California with the airships. And then later on, in Nazi Germany, and then we brought all the Nazis over here, and then all of a sudden something crashes 2 years later in Roswell. That was a test flight. That was a test flight for new technology that NASA and these other companies were developing.
That's, I mean, I see the angle there. It's definitely one of the potential truths of what this is, as like the New Jersey drones, right? That was a big thing. And then just, you know, a few months ago, the New Jersey drones, nobody knew what it was. And then all of a sudden they come out and said like, oh no, it was just, I think they said there was an FAA exercise or something crazy. And it just didn't make sense to me when you see all the videos of what was out there. But I mean, that would make sense if it was merely a way to test out our craft and then make foreign countries believe that this is extraterrestrial technology and there's no point in trying to replicate it or to sort of maybe undersell how advanced our technology is, you know. So fascinating stuff. But
I'm gonna wrap up here in just a second. So when you think of it, there's nothing that you can do about extraterrestrials, right? People think that extraterrestrials are so freaking advanced that there's nothing that we can do about extraterrestrials. Okay, but if it's our technology, then there's 100% something that we can do about it because it's human technology. So they'd rather keep it in the realm of you can't do anything about these crafts. They're flying with impunity. They're over our airspace. They're doing whatever. It's a national security threat, but that's not what it is. But thanks for having me on, brother. Really appreciate it. If people check out my work, they can find me on Raised by Giants on YouTube and all podcast platforms. If they would like to reach out to me personally, they can find me on X, Twitter at Raised by Giants 8, and on Instagram at Raised by Giants Pod. Appreciate you. Hope everyone enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, that was outstanding. Thanks. I'll put links in the show notes for all your stuff, and we're definitely all going to check out your interviews with the Stargate players. So thanks again for coming back on. Appreciate you.
All right. I hope that clarified some of this mystery behind Project Stargate, remote viewing, all the weird occult fringy stuff, because I do think it's going to be part of the disclosure movement for UAP. because as you heard about with my interview with Dr. Jacques Vallée, that's a man that would know what's going on. He more or less advised that we got to understand the occult if we want to understand the phenomenon. So if you want more Ryder Lee, he is the host of Raised by Giants podcast. I'll put a link in the show notes for his link tree where you can find him. And he's got a bunch of cool documentary style videos out. You can get them on Amazon and all kinds of places. And check out my interview I did with him and Jay Widener just a few months ago on Kubrick's Odyssey 3. So just scroll back on the feed and you'll find it. Anyways, yeah, fascinating subject, right? The world is a very strange world, especially when you start understanding the occult underpinnings of everything going on. Now, listen, if you want to support the show, if you like these kinds of interviews, drop a 5-star on the podcast app that you're using. People on my Patreon are always like, where do you want me to drop it? Because Patreon doesn't have a review option, apparently. Just go on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Those are the places that I check mostly. And then also, I forgot to mention that I put a link in the show notes for the video version of the show. You can watch it on my Rumble, my YouTube. I upload it to the free, and Spotify now, I upload it to the free feed, a few days later than what everyone else gets it at. So anyway, drop a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice. All right, thanks for listening. Stay positive.